Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair, and regarding that honorable member, I want to thank the Chair for saying that the presentation in Bali and how it's consumer quality. This is to represent the stage we've been taken up by Transnet this month, led by the chairperson, Dr. Mbeki. The chair, let me start by just relaying the apologies from my principals. The minister is traveling overseas with the president for his absence this morning, and the deputy minister is in the cabinet committee this morning. At this stage, Chair, without wasting time, let me hand over to the Chair, Dr. Mbeki, to dictate. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. Thank you very much for the privilege and honor once more to present to this honorable committee. May I start off by introducing the delegation? Even my immediate left is the acting group CEO, Mohamed Mahomedi. On my right is Mr. Louis Van Diena, the chair of the Finance Investment Committee of the Board. Next to is Nan Paul Estape, member of the REMSEC Remuneration, Social and Ethics Committee of the Board, but she's on many other subcommittees. So most likely full time on the board. Then behind me here is Mr. Mark Gregg MacDonald, acting Group Financial Officer, and then the acting Group Chief Operating Officer. I'm sure at some point we're going to debate why so many actings. And then we have the Company Secretary, Kumela Naika, and the Head of Corporate Communication, Mulatwa Sikhete, with the known woman, Ms. Phyllis Feto, the General Manager in the Office of the Group CEO and Chair of the Board. Thank you very much for having given that report. I must say that we did not think the committee would want the entire board to be here because we're starting with cost containment and so on. So we thought we would just bring the delegation sufficient enough to discharge the tasks before us. Chair, we, as a board, we were appointed on the 23rd of May. And we were appointed within the context of an epoch that the president defined as the new dawn, which for us meant that we recognized that not all was well, that a lot had gone wrong, and secondly that we needed to fix the republic, all the institutions that had been affected by the phenomenon of statism, cleaning up and do so in a manner that reflects a great measure of determination. For us as the board, we defined three strategic tasks that flew out of that new dawn defined by the president, and these were a response to what we said was a systemic weakening of the institutions, including SOEs. was the country also lost that incentive. Thirdly, to refocus these institutions on their real mandate. And we say this particularly with regards to Transnet, because Transnet represents a typical facilitator of economic growth, a fight against poverty, creation of jobs, and we strive to end the inequalities that characterize our society. So we are therefore, Chairperson, dealing, Honorable Chair, talking here as a transnational that is in transition from that part that we have sketched briefly to the future, the current where we are re-establishing. So we do therefore present our results, really the first one, first annual financial report of the board of Transnet as this new board. And we dare say, Chair, that we were doing our work in a very difficult economic climate, a very difficult economic condition, but that notwithstanding, we are delighted to report that Transnet continues to be robust. It has increased its revenues by 1.6% to 74.1 billion rand. It has contained its operating costs to 40.3 billion rand. So in a sense, there's no increase on the operating cost compared to the previous year. It increased its EBITDA margin by 3.8% to 33.8 billion rand. It registered profit for the year increased by 24.7% to 6 billion rand. The capital investment of Transnet in the period under review was 17.9 billion rand, bringing the total expenditure over a period of 7 years in capital project to 183.5 billion rand. And cash generated from operations increased by 0.7% to 35.2 billion rand. The gearing is 45.5% and cash interest cover sitting at 2.9 times. Funding requirement were secured already for 2020 financial year, none of which, Chairperson, is supported by the government, so we're not asking for bailouts from government, no sovereign bailouts. We're fighting our own battle on our own and surviving in the terrain of battle. So therefore, but we gave a bit of a picture, we will give more bit of detail. The good financial, annual financial report of last year and this year has been blemished by audit qualifications, as you recall, Chairperson. We are now getting a back-to-back qualification, previous financial year, which we found in the middle of the process. Now we've got the second. Now, the amount of irregular expenditure caught in the current year is 49.9 billion rand. But it has become so significant as a result of the disclosures arising out of the investigation that we have conducted. when we spoke in public last year, mainly in January, and I think even in this portfolio committee, before the close of the year, probably we're talking to the DTI portfolio committee in this room, we did say that the result of our investigations, which reveal irregularities, massive irregularities, largely associated with the procurement of 1,064 locomotives. Of course, there are other 94 locomotives and another 100 locomotives, would mean that irregular expenditure is where we have. We couldn't hide it. So, therefore, the 49.9 billion rand of irregular expenditure is a confirmation of the assessment that we made already last year. Now, we will, Chairperson, later on go into more details with management as Group CEO of the financial market. What has been pretty clear to us and of course all of us that listens to the talks about the phenomenon of state capture, that phenomenon resulted in the breakdown of internal controls, especially in the area of procurement and finance to some extent. It had to be so because if anybody wants to carry out wrongful behavior, they need to first weaken the system. And this is what has happened in this regard. There were quite deliberate interventions by the proponents of state capture to create an environment conducive to malfeasance, the perpetration of malfeasance in the organization. In a sense, SOEs and Transnet in particular, having been the first one to be targeted, was manipulated to benefit a small group of individuals and entities to the disadvantage of the economy of the country, the poor people of this country, and to the government of the republic. Significant procurement transactions for goods and services were executed, requiring willing participants both internally and externally. So they created promise inside the organization, persuaded people to behave in manners that were alien to the requirements of our values, principles, our ethics, and the requirements of the Republic Finance Management Act. In the 1064 transactions, you had advisors who were brought in, your regiment and Trillium. Transnet did not need them because Transnet had a very strong treasury unit within the finance department. They are renowned worldwide respected, but somebody who wanted to be able to siphon off money removed them, put them aside, and brought in these companies, Trillium and Regiment. Then we had another transaction that is called the interest swaps. The club loan swaps, which involves some banks here, and again, some of these companies that I refer to, Regiment in particular, which have now cost the Transnet 400 million that it has to lose every year as a result of that transaction. And Regiment was brought in as an advisor in respect of the procurement of 1064 and also in these club loans. In addition to that, of course, we had a number of other companies, key systems, which were a company that was controlling the data centers, all IT systems of Transnet. And we had another one called Sichaba, linked to the Guptas, Zestido linked to the Guptas, Neotel, which was a contract but did back-to-back arrangements with Omics, which again was a Gupta linked company. Among them, of course, then they had a relationship with Global Soft Tech Solutions, linked to, I think, German, the cutting edge technologies. SAP, which is the main German software company operating in the country. Then, of course, we have this corruption also in the various OEMs. You would recall that, whereas at the beginning, Transnet issued RFP for a one service provider that provided the locomotives, and on the way they decided that they wanted four OEMs to provide the locomotives. It is now public knowledge that the procurement price escalated from 38.6 billion to 54 billion. And then, of course, on the side, we entered into other, maintenance contracts, which were not done for better. So many of these companies would have been paid also money without doing the job. And we have been looking also, Chair, at the way in which our human resource department was recreated in the image of the looters, so that its role would be one of facilitating state capture. Our HR would be used to remove all the good people who knew the business, who were doing the right job, and you replace them with people who are pliant and who would be willing to take instructions without questioning. And that is how the systems in the organizations were weakened. And now, you will therefore understand, Chairperson, that once we began, and I remember that once we began confronting these challenges, we had to say who are the people within the company who are behind. The result of that was the termination of employment of the then chief executive officer, the chief executive of advanced manufacturing, TE, and suspended a number of other officials who are currently undergoing disciplinary hearings. We also have many more of these people who ran away, of course, as we were dealing with this in their life. They left the company. We have, as a consequence, been left with a number of vacant positions in the company at a very strategic level, which we are busy dealing with. The first one is that position of Group Chief Executive Officer, the Chief Financial Officer, Group Treasurer, Chief Audit Executive, Chief Information Officer, Chief Procurement Officer, Forensic Manager, Chief Executive of Transnet Freight Rail. Freight Rail is one of the biggest, is really the core business of Transnet, together with the Transnet Port Authority and Terminal. And I've mentioned the TE as well. So I'm just giving the critical issues that provide the context. I can say more about lots of notes here, but I would rather that we return to deal with the actual financials, the details, and then we can return to deal with questions.
morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable members, trusted board members. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Chair, I think the chairman has touched on the financial results of Transnet at a very high level. We also want to provide a perspective on the blemish, if we can call it that, around the financial perspective, the voter qualification. I think in terms of the voter qualification, we want to firstly state that Transnet does not take this voter qualification lightly. However, the voter qualification is very specific in Transnet's case. It is not around the financials or the financial statements of Transnet, but rather it is related specifically to the completeness and accuracy of irregular expenditure, which needs to be reported in terms of the PFM. It is a very specific qualification. It is related only to the fact that the auditors were not able to satisfy themselves completely that Transnet had reported all of the possible irregular expenditure that may have been to be reported in the current financial year. In addition, as an entity, we also had significant discussion and debate with our external auditors on a particular pre-qualification criteria which the auditors deemed to be irregular in its application, particularly as it relates to supply development. And the auditors are of the view that the qualification or the irregular expenditure relates to any RFP that goes out for a pre-qualification of supply development is regarded as irregular expenditure. This was a matter that was picked up pretty late in our external audit process, and therefore we were not able to quantify that in its entirety for the audit process. I think the value of 49 billion rand has been touched on by our chairperson, Dr. Molefe. To also give some color, I think the locomotive contracts contribute to just over 41.5 billion rand of the 49 billion rand. As he stated, it's not just the 1064 contracts, it's also the 100 locomotives and the 95 both were given to China South Rail and have been deemed irregular for different reasons. In addition, Chair, we would also like to stress that irregular expenditure in the new financial year or the next financial year will continue. Some of these contracts do continue. They have a longer period. And in some cases, we will provide that perspective. We are in discussions with various entities to actually either stop contracts or look to see whether there's an opportunity to review and set aside in terms of the legal processes that are available to us. And those processes are currently ongoing. I think I just want to reiterate that the audit qualification was not related to the IFRS or International Financial Reporting Standards. It was specifically in relation to the PFMA and irregular expenditure. Chair, I think if you allow me to continue, we did not have a satisfactory performance against the shareholder compact. We have achieved 53% of the objectives that were required of us by the ministry. And lastly, the factor that actually is the negative factor, if I can reference it as that, is operational issues. And the operational targets, which we go under the heading of operational excellence. And in that environment, you will see as we speak a little later, the rail volumes did not materialize as expected, and we had certain challenges in the port volumes as well. The one area that we did do well was on the pipeline, which is largely the volumes of petroleum that we move from Durban up to Heidelberg on the trunk line. We did see a significant increase in that. However, that was related to us actually operationalizing for a full financial year the new multi-purpose pipeline, which was implemented in December 2020. The other area that has unfortunately not materialized in objective is the area of infrastructure development and capacity creation. Largely driven down by the locomotive issues, so we also wish to inform the portfolio committee that the locomotive transactions, one is the contractual issues, but also in terms of the expected delivery and acceptance of those locomotives, we have not been able to receive those locomotives in terms of what we anticipated from the original equipment manufacturers. Some are just in line with schedule, and others are significantly behind schedule. Only one OEM has completed the delivery of their locomotives, all of the 233 diesels that were allocated to General Electric. But, Chair, in terms of the financial performance of Transnet, I think if you look at the slide that's put up at this point, it references the corporate plan versus our actual results on the column on the left, and on the right is the column that looks at the current actual performance versus the prior year performance. Largely, insofar as our prior year performance is concerned, there's been marginal growth and better results as compared to the prior year. However, the corporate plan, which is essentially what we are measured against internally, and with our shareholder minister, we have not achieved the key objectives of revenue. There's been 11.3% below budget performance on revenue. Our EBITDA, the earnings before interest, tax and depreciation, 7.2% below. But year on year, if you look at it, it's 3.8% above the prior year. On the impairment side, we've had a number of issues that we've had to deal with on impairment, as it relates to impairment of property, plant and equipment, as well as impairments relating to derailments on the rail infrastructure. The net profit year on year has improved by 24%, but internally, between our corporate plan, it was a 2.2% movement upwards. The capital investment profile is 17.9 billion, which is lower than the prior years, but again, as I said, directly attributable to many factors, one of them being the locomotive under-delivery anticipated what, compared to what we anticipated. So that reduced the cost, the cash flows for capital in the current financial year. Our cash interest cover is 2.9, and I think that is about the loan covenants that we currently have. There isn't a significant risk on the loan covenants at this point. The loan covenants are sitting at 2.5 minimum cash interest cover, so we've achieved 2.9, of gearing at 44.5. Loan covenants, some of them carry 50-50, or others carry a 60% gearing. The important thing from cash generated from operations of 35.165 billion rand is that Transnet thankfully has been able to fund all of its obligations in the current financial year, Chair, as well as debt obligations that are maturing, that have matured in the current financial year. We were able to service all of the obligations, and as the Chair said, with not necessarily having to knock on the doors of National Treasury or any other institution within the government space. We're grateful for that, and I think in addition, we have also been able to... I think as we've been also able to secure funding from institutions who have funded us based on the Transnet balance sheet up to December 2020. And that is as a result of us negotiating and securing different facilities across both local and global institutions. And they're coming in currently at quite competitive rates. In addition, Chair, I think on the funding matter, it's quite important to note that in the last 3 to 4 months, we have issued commercial paper, short-term commercial paper, just in the region of approximately 200 million rand a month, and thankfully for most of those months we have been oversubscribed, which shows that there is a restoration of confidence in the markets as relating to Transnet. Further, last week we opened our bond markets in terms of the different bonds that we have issued, the TM25 or the TM40 bonds, and last week we had interest in the region of approximately 400 million tons, and this was largely as a result of losing general trade volumes and a somewhat difficult period on the coal export coal line. The iron ore line, the export iron ore line position to Saldanha continued to show consistent performance at about 58.5 million tons. On the port containers year on year, we reflected a 2.8% decrease in the port container volumes. That's across the three key container ports being Cape Town, Nuka, and Durban. The petroleum volumes, as I suggested, Chair, have gone up 9.1% year on year and 4.7% if you compare it to budget, where we transported 17.8 billion litres of fuel through the pipeline. Our net operating expenses, as the Chair pointed out, year on year, Chair, we were able to hold off and contain the costs at the 40.3 billion rand number, whereas it was a 14.5% reduction as compared to plan. Personnel costs are a very significant part of our business. More than 50% of our costs are in personnel costs. And if you also look at it in terms of electricity and fuel, that contributes 19% to our cost base. And therefore, in achieving a flat cost base year on year, we were able to contain and absorb some of the increases on the electricity as well as the diesel costs that we experienced in the 18-19 financial year. Chair, on the next slide, it suffices to say that Transnet Freight Rail is a significant player in the business of Transnet in itself. 55% of its EBITDA actually is achieved, or 55% of Transnet's EBITDA relates to Transnet Freight Rail. The next slide will take you through a little more detail in terms of depreciation, impairment of assets, fair value adjustments, and finance costs. As we said, one of the focus areas for Transnet is to bring in cost-effective funding, and we were able to achieve a 11.5% reduction compared to budget of finance costs, but we did see an increase in 13.1% year-on-year on finance costs. Transnet's book debt is in the region of 127 billion rand. The net profit for the year, movement of 24.7%, if you take into consideration all of the pluses and minuses, essentially the 1.2 billion movement in EBITDA gave rise to the net profit movement of 24.7%. As far as the property, plant and equipment of Transnet is concerned, the asset value that's reflected in the balance sheet of Transnet is 313.6 billion rand, a very significant number and a significant balance sheet. We had some challenges as a result of the offtake or the reduction in volumes, which have impacted in terms of IFRS. We had to have some devaluation on the rail infrastructure, which amounted to 23 billion rand, and we had some other adjustments of smaller numbers as a result of devaluation. We've had, as we said, 17.9 billion rand in capital expenditure, of which 3.2 billion rand is in expansion and 14.7 billion rand in sustaining capital. As far as our borrowings are concerned, Chair, we, as I said earlier on, 127.6 billion rand in borrowings. Our gearing is within the covenants, as well as the loan covenants are the gearing and cash interest cover within loan covenants. The abridged cash flow that we provided suggests that we borrowed in total a net of 6.2 billion rand, of which 4 billion rand was from ICBC, African Development Bank, the 500 million, the China Development Bank was 1.5 billion rand. The China Development Bank is a loan that was entered into in 2015. One important fact, Chair, is that both the entities or the rating agencies that look at Transnet, Moody's and S&P, have rated Transnet on a standalone basis at investment grade. However, as a result of the shareholding of Transnet, we generally carry the software as an overarching perspective when it comes to funding. far as our capital investment spend is concerned, you do see a fall off in capital expenditure from 25.6 billion rand down to 17.9 billion. And as I explained, one of the contributing factors was the fact that the locomotives that were planned and expected to be received did not materialize. A large part of our plan at this point in time is sustaining capital, that is to look at our significant rail and port infrastructure to ensure that we protect the volumes that are currently in play at this point in time. Some of the major capital deliveries that we put on the table, as we suggested since inception, and we give you the ones that we've accepted in the current financial year, the class 44 diesels, which were produced by General Electric, all 233 of those locomotives are now delivered and accepted and utilized in the rail operations. The class 359, the class 22 electrics, which is a total of 359, of that we have received 234 in the financial year, up to the inception to the financial year, 234 of those locomotives. We have also produced 487 wagons. All of these wagons, Chair, are produced by Transnet Engineering and maintained by Transnet Engineering through its entire life cycle. The rail refurbishment program, we have replaced 225,000 sleepers and 114 kilometers of rail. I think the key issue, Chair, is volumes and operations, and the unfortunate situation is that the economy was a tough economy to work with. We had volatility in commodity prices. We had some challenges with global demand on export coal. The prices even today on export coal remain slightly depressed as compared to the highs of a year or two ago. We have got the information as we presented, Chair. There was an expectation that we would deliver on general freight 99 million tons. We delivered 84.7 million tons. Export coal against a target of 76, we delivered 72 million tons. Chair, I would like to say that on the container side, against a target of 4.625 million TEUs, we delivered 4.534 million TEUs. We have seen some uptake from the automotive sector, where we moved 743,000 units as compared to an expectation of 725,000 units, and we see that that is a sector that we can continually support. There has been a fair amount of interest that we have been able to elicit from the automotive sector. As far as operational efficiencies are concerned, the rail turnaround time, what we measure, cycle time on the export coal line, the from 2018 of 57 hours went up to 64 hours. On the export iron ore went up from 86 hours to 91 hours. However, on the general freight business, we saw a reduction in wagon turnaround time from 10 days down to 9.7 days. We are not achieving the requisite targets at the ports as related to either ship working hours or we look at gross train hour moves. That is not materialized, and that's a key area of focus as relates to Transnet. Unfortunately, Chair, in addition to the auto qualification, a significant blemish that management and board take very seriously is the fact that we have lost four employees in the 2018-19 financial year, two at Freightway and two at Transnet Engineering. Our disabling injury frequency rate is still being managed, but unfortunately, the blemish of losing people is not something that we get over easily, and one death is one death too many. We also provide you with a perspective on the designated categories of employees. We have not achieved the targets of the females at EXCO and extended EXCO. It is a concern that is currently being looked at by both management and the board. As far as community development is concerned, Chair, the flagship of Transnet in the corporate social investment space is the Pelopepa train. It's a health train. I think a number of members are aware of that. We remains one of the focus areas of our public social investment programs, Chair. We were able to exceed our target and provide just over 12,000 to 14,000 teenagers with an appropriate pack toiletries that are necessary. As far as industrial capability and transformation objectives in the spend area are concerned, Chair, we've achieved a 93% spend in the current year of what is the total measurable spend. We have had a slight decline in the number as it relates to the various codes that have been amended has impacted the spend program. In terms of energy consumption, there has been a slight decline year on year, and that would be anticipated as a result of the volume issues. Carbon emissions remain a key focus for us as a result of the impact that we have with international institutions. For example, if you take the shipping line, they have signed up to European standards and certain emission targets, and we are part of that value chain, and we need to ensure that we deliver the right carbon efficiencies so that they can achieve their targets as well. Chair, the irregular expenditure, we provide a very high level analysis in that of the 49.9 billion rand, 1.6 billion rand related to contracts that were entered into the current year, and a large amount of them in terms of, as I said, the 1064, 95, and 100 locomotives related, or that relates to 41.5 billion rand. Chair, I think in light of the time that has been given to us, I would conclude my presentation, and we thank you once again. Transnet is, I think the Chair has requested that one of the board members.
Honourable Chairman and honourable members, I think just to elaborate on what Mohammed has said, I mean, as a finance committee of the board, obviously we want to take the qualification serious. But I think I just want to put into perspective that at this stage, one aspect, honourable chairman and members, that is important for us is obviously the credibility of Transnet. Now, you will see out of a recent Moody's rating that we were, they confirmed our rating, but they reduced the outlook from stable to negative. Now, our chairman referred to, just to give the honourable members a feel, capital projects of about 183 million rand over a period of 5 years. Mohammed referred to gearing of 44.5%. So we will always be out in the market as Mohammed has indicated. And we have good support from our funders and our lenders. The issue with the qualification is that it immediately places a question mark on the going concern status. Because the rating agencies, when in the qualification, would speak to the possible default and the calling officer. I think this is a problem that goes much wider than Transnet. It speaks to a lot of SMEs in general. Now, the one thing, Honourable Chair, that we don't say is absolutely the wrongs of the past must be disclosed. But disclosing it with the consequences of a qualification makes international rating agencies pretty anxious. And it is important, and we are preparing for the signature of our Chair, a document to National Treasury, as well as DPE, as well as DPI, to say, can you engage with the Auditor General to see whether we can't work differently with items of state capture so that it can bring a different definition to qualification. I think the problem, as the Chair has said, the more you investigate, the more you find. Everything you find that's new, run the risk of behavior expenditure, runners of the qualification. And I think it's important that that feature is understood in the terminology of the qualification. I think that the second item for us is, I mean, you will see that there is severe criticism on Transnet, particularly with relation to ports. Now, just capital investment in our ports over the next 4 years is going to be roughly 21 billion rand. We are in the position that we are in, Chair, and I think for the honorable members, we are working relentlessly to fix our ports. But just a simple consequence, as the Chair has pointed out, on what has happened over the last 10 years, the lack of maintenance and looking after equipment, that today, and Chair, I'm a banker, I'm not in transport, so I learn every day, but some of the equipment, which is referred to as straddles, we need 45 units. Now, it takes 10 months after order to get it. So if your auto industry, if your agricultural industry makes the noise in the media that they do, it's not that we're not alert to that problem. It's just that time delay to fix some of those wrongs. And again, the capital intensity, again, your reliance on funders, again, the issue of the quality of your financial statements. So, Honourable Chair, I just wanted to point out that we are very, very aware to these problems, to find solutions. And just as a last, I mean, currently, we've got the best part of almost 100 locomotives standing idle that we can put into production if we have it fixed and well maintained. And the criticality of doing that will ask that certain of the PFMA requirements, there might have to be temporary relief at least, just to get some of what we have in infrastructure to work productively and to contribute to the economy so that we can meet the goals and objectives set by the Chair as in our shareholder contact and so forth. And I just thought, Chairman, to highlight that as a level of importance.
Chair, I don't want to irritate the members, but I think what Louis is saying raises another question. That the state capture created extraordinary circumstances in our country situation without extensive damage. If in an attempt to respond to we are told you've got to go the old way of PFMA, which takes you months on end to procure these certain carriers. Or you have the demand by the DTR that you will not be allowed to fix those locomotives unless the component you use to fix them you search for in the country where they don't exist. It means we can't move. So we're going to have to ask the committee, and I've already said this to our minister, that we need a discussion with the portfolio committee, the DPE, and Minister of Finance and National Treasury to say, if you are dealing with extraordinary circumstances, you need to adopt extraordinary measures if you want to fix the problem as quickly as possible. So we're going to have to look at those kind of things, but we will come back to you as we are waiting on our chair and members, where we don't find pleasure in getting it done by the government, because we're going to move rapidly, and what you saw on carte blanche should not become a daily happening because we are not able to resolve issues quickly. Well, of course, there are heads that must roll because people must explain to us why is it that they had equipment, they needed to have a maintenance regime,
there to put in place strategic procurement and planning for that procurement. They simply did not do that. So somebody there would have to go. But that is not the solution. The solution must be found in other. Appraising the situation and accepting that it requires us to act differently than relying on tradition. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Honourable Chair, I think there was a question around the element which you asked about. I just want to give some feedback on that. I think, yes, as you pointed out, Chair, the incident occurred between Tamazimbi and the Kalari. There was a full train of 100 wagons. Picked up coal from Kulthul and on its way to Tamazimbi with an empty train that was in the Makabas loop with 80 wagons. This was an empty train, and there was a head-on collision between the two trains. We lost Mr. Gavin Constantin and Mr. Finis Mahong, the train driver, the train engineer, and the train assistant on the one train. It happened, our assessment is 12:30 and 1 a.m. on the night in question. The two employees that were the client train driver and the train assistant on the other train, the full train, suffered the injuries to both their legs. The one has been discharged and is back at home operating. The other individual, Chair, we will be doing an assessment later today. He has been recovering quite well, but as of last night, he had experienced some pain that was extraordinary, which the doctors are relooking in his right leg. He had injured both his legs, and the one train assistant had injured one leg. He's discharged the train driver still in hospital. It was quite a significant incident. The Lepalari Tamazimbi line is a single line, which means that the line is closed off, and is efforts to clean that particular damage and get the line back up and running operational will take us a little while, and I think that assessment will be done in the coming days while we start with the cleanup operation.
Is the two facilities are included in the port intervention?
Chair, the report that we present before you is the 2018-19, so from March 18, sorry, April 18 to March 19, these two fatalities are in the new financial year.
Thank you, Group Zero, Lieutenant Group Zero, and the Chair, all members of Transnet who assisted this committee. I think now is the time to give also members to have their voice. I have to start here so that I go back to me. Okay. Or you join me and then start now coming and then go.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for Transnet Chairperson for the announcement. Maybe my first question is, in your experience in railway, providing engineering services to power cuts in harbors and across the Southern Africa Development Community, SADC, why now your revenue decreased from 11 million from 11.8 billion to 10.5 billion for previous years? The second question, what is the Transnet vacancy rate and when will the 18 position be filled? And the third one, please explain to the committee what measure we have put in the place to increase the presentation of the female employee. Transnet invested, question number four, Transnet invested 151 million in corporate social investment CSI year under the review but only 109 million was spent on the comprehensive primary health care. Where is the balance of 42 million? Or when are you going to spend? Maybe explain that one. In the audit general, there was a food and waste expenditure of 507 million. And what is the transit to make ensure the realization of the procurement program? Because I think that is the problem of the transit, because there's a procurement all the time. It is a problem, like a ownership of this pipeline. There was a pipeline was building and to the contractor building the pipeline of 403 million and for 44 million paid in contractors. And after that, that pipeline is extinguished. Our question is, in the 2015, Transnet was requested by the concession of the Belmont Douglas branch line. Please provide an update and the outcome of the request. What measure being put in place and ensure that the entity accounts for the failure to meet the KPIs? Please provide an example of where is the happy. And like the last one, what Transnet freight really done in order to ensure the realization of the main objection of which moving rail friendly freight from road to rail? What has been done in the current financial year to ensure that the progressive realization of this goal? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jennifer. I just want to start off by saying thank God you are not complaining about us. I think that you got this woman to be safe to come with that line, because there's nothing left in the fiscus by SAA and S form. There's nothing. One point I want to make is it's always problematic to have vacant key positions that's open. So that would be a first thing to focus on going forward, to appoint the various key positions people strategically. Secondly, I'm to say I must compliment you on one thing that they actually put it on schedule over the years, that your CSI project as far as the health plan is concerned is the best CSI project in South Africa. I've been on the train twice, and it was also in my constituency, so I also visited there, and the work that's been done is enormous, so that's a positive, and I think if it could be extended to the outskirts as far as possible for those people living in far rural areas, it will do to the benefit of those South Africans. Then I want to ask another, it's been touched on by one of the other members, but previously there was this whole project and rail to rail project. How successful is that and how is it going forward for the new financial year? Because if you nowadays look at the rail in South Africa, the millions of rands we spend on infrastructure as far as rail is concerned, and one of the major problems was coming that people use more rail transport than train transport. If we can be successful in rail-to-rail transport, that could be to the benefit of all South Africans, especially all the national roads, like 81 and 2 and all those roads. Then further on to know, there's more sensitive, but I'm really grateful for the chair of this track. It's about previously, let me mention it straightforward, the previous CEO and CFO that moved actually to ESCOM, let's be honest, because I'm the only one sitting here of all this committee
activities test in this committee, and others in the inquiry of this committee. So I know exactly all the stuff that was going on. But is there, or was there, personal gain by some of these people, and in what extent is the executive and the board going to do to go to put it straight personally after them for what they've done and what they have gained? Furthermore, I have the vision, if a person even has resigned from Transnet, you still have to go after it because it did earn a salary at that point in time and it did gain something along the way up to that point. So you must take responsibility for that, what he's actually stolen from Transnet. And if he stole it from Transnet, he stole it from South Africa. And coming back to that, two companies, Trillium and Regiment, they've already been actually, I think, traced by Eskom. That same should be done by Transnet. Then another question that is particularly interesting to me is the old airport in Durban that you actually want to go forward in years' time to expand maybe and build a new harbour for Durban, to put it that way. Because that, in the long run, I think is one of the best projects that could happen to South Africa if the economy is picking up and all that type of things, because you need the extra space for export purposes. And I've been on the site personally, I've walked on the site with the previous site committee, and I think there's ample opportunities going forward for South Africa in that regard. Then I want to ask about the capital project. It was a long-term project for over 7 years that has been conveyed to this committee in the previous round, as far as the Saldanha Cision project going through the Saldanha Bay Harbour. How online, or on track are you with that capital investment program? Because I must say, Saldanha Bay Harbour and the surrounding area have been identified by the national as well as by the provincial government, both of them, as a key economic growth area. And Transnet, and the expenditure, capital expenditure by Transnet, will play a major role together with that area around the harbour that's also declared as an industrial development zone, growth area, that whole area. So, and Transnet is a major, or the major role player for actually going forward with job creation in that whole area. So I'm asking that personally because it's my constituency and driving through that area every Monday morning, and I see how they're actually busy and how things are going. But I know they were slowed down in spending there as the economy was a problem as far as the price of iron ore and all of that. But I would really like to hear from you what is your vision on the speeding up things in that area. Because in the long run, and we must be honest about it, Saldanha Harbour is the biggest natural and the deepest natural harbour in South Africa. And to the southern point of South Africa, Table Bay Harbour won't be able in the long run to actually accommodate all the functions that currently are in Table Bay, and it should shift in steadily towards the Saldanha Bay area. So I'm just putting that on the table. Another thing that is over the years and coming a long way is the port charges from South Africa versus other countries. And I think it's problematic in the sense that maybe other companies that are actually docking here and to do certain work at the boats here in the southern point of Africa would pass us because we are extensively high with our costs and we lose actually our competitive advantage here at the southern point of Africa. And I think that could actually be a focus for this new board going forward. I think I'm nearly done with my questions. Not another member that wanted to ask you something, but overall, positive in the sense, if I compare the Transnet to the other SOEs, I'll give you a thumbs up in that regard. Well, there is problems, to be honest. It's not I think that the biggest problem was with the state capture that actually weakened your balance sheet to such extent that you have problems as far as the rating is concerned. But if you can actually engage with the Treasury and you can actually provide what you need from your side positively to change the balance in the balance sheet, put it that way, and what you're actually doing to regain what you've lost, that must also then send a positive line of sentence to the international markets when you actually try to borrow some money or capital from their bank side. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by welcoming the team from Transnet and make a mark to say they are confident. It's so amazing. It makes them set a bar. Just a little bit. The bar that they're setting, I hope you sustain it. I can hear you are talking about a new door, and indeed you could see a new door into the organization. And let me also applaud the Transnet. Last time when we went to there for an oversight chair, they gave us a report to say indeed they are trying by all means to discover what was lost or what has been stolen from the organization by the state capture. And last thing, let me join my colleague in thumbs up, and you still have a lot to do and do more. As much as when I'm talking all of you, you are giving an impression. But I hope you'll stick and you'll rise the bar of that impression that you have set for yourself. But let me go direct to my questions. I've got two of them, if not three, they're not many. On the side of engineering, trusted engineering, you have an obligation or you are the provider of engineering into public. And under your report, it shows the decrease on revenue. If you are recording the decrease, I'm not going to talk about the figures because I'm not an accountant. I don't want to misquote your figures. But then, on that aspect, my question goes to, can you elaborate or tell us how the decline in the global economic growth affected the implementation of your African strategy? And certainly still on the engineering side, there was an engineering headcount and it has reduced, it has made a positive reduction contribution to your personnel costs. Then can you share with us how did you achieve the headcount? Chair, allow me on that note to also check with the new dawn. On the side of Kauleza, the president has made a call to say he's bringing the bullet train from Messina to Cape Town. Are you ready? Yes, from Messina, there's no way I can speak about Messina. Are you ready? Or you are still gearing on the calendar. We need to check because that's part of how we're going to reach our level in this administration, Transnet. And I believe you are not gone, but then now calendar, you need to give. but then show us you going to make it the best trade. Lastly, that means that you previously in Sina could see a Yaba actually closer to the Pacific Bridge. Now it's only a good trade. Can you give us why you make you to stop across the Catalina? Because it's a bit cheaper. But now, no one has put the fare at the top. Why are we not crossing with the train to basically Zimbabwe, other African countries? Chair, I'll also go to the point of Transnet's national cost authorities. Under that heading, the revenue shows an increase of 6.4% in their tariffs, but there's a concern or an allegation that we need you to explain further or give us more information to on the Competition Commission. And we have started investigating you for excessive pricing in the court charges and the preferential treatment of some clients too exclusive of others. Then can you inform us though about the investigation, if it's true, is it true, and how far, what is really, what are the facts? And on the court terminals, we are observing in your report, as you are watching, you have a decline of container volumes. The decrease in volume by 2.8%. There's also a value decrease marginally by 0.8%. What are the reasons? And what are your plans in place to recover that or to for a smooth operation? And lastly, Chair, I said I'm not going to take a lot of your time. We have a pipeline that in your slide you're saying is in full, your multi-product operation is in full stream, if I'm quoting it correct. But my question will be briefly on the new multi-purpose pipeline project and the cost. Can you give us the cost completion versus the original budget of the multi-purpose pipeline? And Chair, allow me to, even if it's not part of what I was questioning, but I'm tempted to ask the minister and the team on the relationship that they are having with other African countries, as much as you are the main engineer to other countries, how good or bad the relationship that you are experiencing across when you give your services. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Allow me to join my honorable colleagues and appreciate and give a thumbs up to the presentation by Transnet and the progress and the positive report that I get compared to the others, of course, which also leave a lot of potential improvement. But Chair, as a public representative of a sent here by because Chancellor Rutherford in his options is saying the main purpose of the state-owned companies is to operationalize a pro-social economic development plans of governments. But it emphasizes in saying we all have a responsibility to restore them and to generate inclusive growth for providing efficient and cost-efficient networks for us to deliver public services to those who can pay and those who cannot, but also to talk to the issue of unemployment and economic growth and development of South Africans, in particular in Africa. So with that, Jefferson, I'm interested in the human capital. In a report, you said, if I quote you correctly, you said there was a 51.324, there was end March 2018, but end March 2019, it decreased to 57.8. So if I can get the current on that, talking to the issue of employment and unemployment, what was the cause of that? And what is your plan in improving that specified? Because I'm interested in the increase of employment opportunities. Secondly, Chair, on the audit outcome, I had the explanation, but what is your plans going forward to improve your audit outcomes, and what is the time frame on that? Bearing in mind that I had your presentation on the historical inheritance and so forth. So the responsibility of the current leadership is to make sure that you swim within that. So what is your plan going forward in improving the audit outcome? Chairperson, I'm also the member of the activist of the AIDS Women's League. There's no African law. So we always want to see women empowerment and development. So what is your plan of improving the female presentation from 38.1 to the very best time? To at least 50%, at least can you not get at least 50%, which is must be above 50%. Thirdly, for me, Chair, do you have the risk management plan in place to avoid employee facts of the differences? And as you have responded to the honourable Professor Che on the current situation, do you have a risk management plan to avoid that? What happens in aggregate on the reasons for the causes of the acting positions? And the honourable member has just talked to the vacancy rates and the acting positions, and what are the effects of that in the operation, and what are the challenges that you are experiencing on the operations because of that, but also what is the time frame that you set for yourself to fill those vacancies. Lastly, Chair, for me, if I can get an update, Honourable Jefferson, on the report of the Transnet Transport Pension Fund and their second defined benefit fund as they concluded in the joint memorandum of agreement, and also the difference and the reasons for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. membership of clubs here, right? The group that you want to contact before the call comes, you know, will be behind you in spirit, and then you want to hear the outcome, what will the auditor say after all that. And the check, it is something that I have been querying last night, the 104 topology. I've related that to your process of localization. This is exactly what you are saying. You again want to challenge that because you are told that you need to get the local supplier or the contractors around other than going abroad. We wish you good luck and hope that the committee will assist so that you find what in fact you wanted to achieve. Chair, 3 out of your operating divisions recorded a revenue increase. I hope you remember those reasons. How can you strategically sustain that? I think 4, 5, and 3 of them record or are recording the increase in revenue. Then we'll be happy at this committee if the process is sustained. And what is it that we have done differently to achieve this? Obviously, you had a very good mix that made you to achieve or get where currently you were. So those are the things that you would like to get as a committee. But in the process, surely, we are learning some things. Those two that have not reached their status, what lessons you have learned in the process of sustaining those that have in fact shown the positive results? I have seen as well that the community unrest had an impact on your operations. And I'd be interested to know what can you possibly do to circumvent this kind of a situation in the future. We know that communities currently, whatever they demand, they take things to the streets. It looks as if this time around they take some of the things to the railway lines so that you can operate. But to circumvent all those things, then, what are your plans for the future? The other question, Chair, is I must say I'm impressed with your transformation program. You know, quite a lot, they cover quite a lot of range. I'm interested to know how are they funded? Are they part of the budget? Because my analysis, when I look at them, there are big exotic ends. We talk billions there. I'm interested to know what happens when people have undergone training, entertainment, they go out and do some other work that in fact will benefit the community. The important thing is Transnet focuses on localization, which is this one of its four. But the PPPFA does require that localization be verified through the SABS, right? However, the cost has not been kind of included in all that. And
came from Gauteng. And I was in the fourth, the fourth parliament, I remember, all my life. So I want to assist you with regards to members being new. I think I appreciated that when we started, to a point where I appreciated what parliament will claim as legacy, because quite often I see those legacies, but I found it, in fact, I didn't find legacy, because legacy, I'm sure, wouldn't be here, considered something that I would have achieved in years of experience and being in institutions for a long time. So yes, we should change them to call them, what do you call them, handover reports. So we have read your legacies. We are continuing on legacy. So not only we've got APLs here, former two mayors, former leader of the opposition, that we can keep moving this village. So don't you worry. We'll be seeing your legacy. So you should be able to assist from this. So I was trying to assist you so that when you keep on reiterating your 20 years, being here. Alright, when we come to the matters, okay, let me start with, I think I was quite taken aback that when you mentioned matters on, how we find ourselves, of course we're global enough financially here, at the same census, so we are dealing with those type of inefficiencies, government matters, and all sorts of things that this committee is acquired. But one thing I mentioned, perhaps this will also go to the committee, is that part of the work on rigors that you are able to do, which that's good work, you won the state of culture. But the question then becomes, what do we need to do to strengthen our oversight and MPs? So our oversight is not only just a question and answer and interrogating, and within that you leave, you come there, you get after 3 months, you caught up with 4 months, we must be paid, it's 5 years down the line, we find out of the program. So I think it's important as our committee and the posture, insofar as the human resource that we need and the capacity in your office, is that we need to still continue on our merit from that interrogative when we were in the state of culture. And that way for me it will dig deeper into the affairs of what to understand, the specialties and the problems, the extent of the problem, we're able to assist each other to try to get up and come to measures that we need. So we don't need to have just a committee, you come, we leave, we hear problems, we leave. So it should be not a way that we're able to exchange, but continue and focus areas, whether it's human resources, government, it's finances, so we're able to tap in and we move for the sake of culture. So when Mr. Zondo the Chief Justice is done, we're already ahead. And I want to add that to the usual question, the question of what have we done? Do we have the legal department and the cabinet? Investigations, because of suspensions. We want to trace the money. People cannot lose our money and run away with the money. And I agree with our mayor when he said that we should find a way in the case of registration to know how we pursue and put investigating for us to be able to recover the lost money. It's easy for people to come and leave. You would have observed what is happening to Ms. Dudumeni today, wherein, she's been taken to court to be delinquent. Will this happen? Will this be a trend for all chapters? Will the board members not be worried? Will just be the distinct for one person? So, AIS, my question is that, what do we do to ensure that we recover the money? But that's important. I think it's important because our society wants you to be able to communicate your own story and to clean up chapters. Let's communicate the thieves that we are covering, the work that we do, investigation, suspensions,
sort of bring hope and show that we are ready with the challenges to deal with them. Chair, you are from Brazza. When you did the oversight, you found some correlation with transplant. Now, given your experience and the human resource that we have in the form of you and the challenges, you are also facing here at transplant, a person that is here for you, why do you think that the fundamentals that you would have left aside that we need to deal with, whether it's a policy issue, so that we find a way to be able to make sure the correlation between transplant and Brazza, that, I mean, Brazza day-to-day trains get stuck, and all sorts of things, the conclusions, you're from there. Now we're in transplant. Transplant is kind of old, it's stable, transplant has capacity to build, it's got capacity to engineer, and so forth and so on. How can it assist the natural race that you are part of? So we kind of trace the skill that we have, and the fact that we've got, I mean, trust that this person can take us further to transplant. So for me, I would just want to hear from you, that's the point of convention. Is there any policy instrument that we need to develop? Financial performance. Transplant should explain the issue of downgrade 2017, how it affected our growing program for the 2019 financial year, but also investigations into irregular and well and wasteful and fruitless wasteful the consequences of such management, what is being instituted against the perpetrators of such of irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I'm quite interested. The law should be able to ask us to be able to deal with it. You can't have 100 billion really. The matter was raised by the auditors regarding this irregular fruitless wasteful expenditure in the last 5 financial years of transport. Why is this matter not attended to in this instance or addressed and the issue of measures being put in place? Transport is putting in place to address the auditor's findings on their treaty combined objectives. If the entity has the same findings for the past 3 years, I want to now go to public health advisors at communication about the systems that have been put in place to ensure the KPIs to the shareholder complex adhere to National Treasury Framework for Managing Program Performance Information. And look, the PC, the portfolio observed, the transport was observed that there are areas of overlap. I think that's the point of our trying to raise. Overlap in the functions of the passenger rail agency cluster and the port regulator. The transport therefore contended that there is a need for DOT and DPE to develop an ill and compassing and holistic approach that will spell out the roles and responsibilities of the various agencies with a view to achieving complementarity rather than competition. So we should plan in this instance public enterprise and Transnet just to get your view on this part. The implementation of the integrated port management systems, what you call IPMS, have any challenges been faced when implementing the system, if you can assist this? If Transnet could tell us the investigations into alleged irregularities or fraud, as stated on page 15, of your annual financial statements. The required application against the entity over alleged irregular payments amounting to millions, you know, that made by contractors of the multi-product pipeline, what you think of an MPP, if you can just tell us about that. Let me go to my the skills development and capacity development in your presentation. I want to know, out of all of that, how many are used? You might not give me the information now, but I'm kind of interested as we move along with the human resources, that as we develop and we scale, and of course, the issue of women, that we need to also have the countries who are bringing for a secret. It's important that all of us, we get our lead behind and try to assist this compromise that the country is itself. The politics of your balance sheet, the net profit of the last financial year, I think at this instance, we may be at this, but just to thank you, because I think I'm blessed to hear through the meeting with Intex, with Transnet, and we're looking forward to have a meaningful conversations with you to move along, and we really, really need to have officials in our departments who are ready to do the work, but what beyond the issue of corruption? Corruption cannot be at the end of the day seen as a black person or black government is also corrupt. But it's not true that is. There are good men and women who are ready to really honest and serve our country. The board of Transnet, have anybody been vetted or board members? Have the senior executive underwent what we call the lifestyle audit? And that's where you need to also start. And Chairperson, can we work with what we have and so far as the vacancies, especially feeling this one that we strategic what I mean after then trying to sustain the investigation. But in the meantime, what impact does that have on you? And it will be obvious that it will generate more, but I'm just also thinking out loud in the opportunity you mentioned. What can we do in the meantime with what we have? Because the question will be, can we afford those vacancies? Because I'm sure they're exorbitant, because those are senior positions. But have senior officials been vetted and analyzed and about it? Thank you.
Thank you,
Honourable
Members.
Thank
you, just starting where she ended in relation to this vacancy and the suspension. So, can we perhaps at some point, not necessarily today, get an update on the date of all these cases? Who has been suspended? What is the state of this case? And so on. So that we at least are in the same. What is happening? We are bombarded, especially as the chair, about a lot of letters that come from the affected, I think, from some countries, complaining about being suspended or fired, and then also asking for intervention. And in most cases, I have heard that. Because we are not in a free of the entity and support and support within those matters. But perhaps it helps to be understand the merits of this situation so that if you ignore, you are in that same. You cannot be told that I tell the chairperson to find myself where we do go and justify some breaking points. The other issue, I think my understanding of the presentation, especially from Mr. Louis Zinga. So I think my feeling also you will have the same problem that you have occurred before. From my understanding, you actually not saying you contest the audit outcomes and such. You understand where they come from as what it comes to which the situation where are they. But what do you suggest that you as a Transnet, you have to package all these issues of the past that have implication on your current state of your audit outcomes to be dealt with some so that you cannot
anche a loro situazione con male di special specializzata di scienze come psichiatriche saranno in suo social presence e di difficoltà con per loro expectations and the transcends one of the central entities in driving the national economy. But also what I think is that already while Transnet has started some work, but there are a lot of facts from the historical disadvantaged communities that when it comes to procurement, whole area is still more representative of the past in terms of benefiting. Therefore, I would call for Transnet while I support wholeheartedly the plea made by Honorable Marlene, but also to take cognizance of that need break from that was official sometimes represent their scheme. If the predominant people employed in that particular area, they sort of look at their communities instead of and forget that there are other communities that are mostly there. Therefore, I would suggest that you look at that also. All our crew members, I think if there's no second mic. I will give that to Dr. Paul Griffin to fix that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And then we really have a mouthful there. Chair, I propose to just try and deal with a few issues. And then whether we put the acting position, but then let the most of the HR matters be dealt with by Mary Barry. And then questions that relate to the port, I'm going to throw to Louis. Richard Valio. There's a whole lot of other technical matters which Mo, Mark, and Phyllis deal with. And then there are policy issues which were raised. We will come back to that. How would we work with the Transnet? Bear with us. I think let's keep being reminded if we leave other things out. There's a gender issue of men and women that we need to deal with. It. Quickly, Chair, the we will be asked who came from Transnet and what are we doing about it. We have identified companies and individuals who unduly got enriched as a result of the capture of Transnet. They would include the former two CEOs of the group, the former CFO of the group, and the other one who came later and acted as a CFO. If you allow me, I don't want to mention names at this stage. Others are identifiable. A former chief engineer or chief
prioritize the amount that we believe their actions has caused the company to lose. And we have formally instituted several claims against them. And in addition, we have also laid charges in terms of tracker, prevention and combating of corrupt activities acts. They are the hawks. And the NPA is already busy dealing with priority crimes. We have met with them. We met with them about a week ago. So we are dealing with all of these matters. And companies, we have already recovered 680 million rand from China's outbreak on a contract that was for maintenance, which was not properly done. They paid back the money. We must still get a little over 80 million again from them. We have signed a settlement with the regiment about the money that we believe they were not entitled to. They will pay us 180 million back very soon. It is not a full and final settlement. We will pursue others. I did refer to the swaps, the club loan swaps. We are pursuing that one, and we are engaging the banks involved in that one as well. As far as the monies that have left the country, honorable members would have heard from the Minister of Justice and the MPA that those monies are being followed. It is good that the National Treasury of the U.S. has also blacklisted certain people and froze their frozen their assets. So we will therefore, with mutual assistance, legal assistance required, work with all those countries to recover the monies. We have dismissed quite a number of people who were found on the wrong side of the law or with their fingers in the till. And honorable members, it's not only black people. Only last week, 2 weeks ago, we fired the former acting chief procurement officer. His name is Thomas, Senator Thomas. He's not black. So we deal with these problems without any color. And of course, quite a number of other people we have suspended a number of names, and I did indicate that these executives are on suspension. I'd rather, Chair President, you agree that we'd rather start talking about their names when you know processes have been effectively implemented. But we can on a confidential basis forward some notes on that to the committee, to the members. Of course, we can't stop you from sharing it with your friends in the media if you choose to, but we have already used quite a number of them previously. Then there is the relationship with Africa, honorable members, is we take the Africa strategy seriously. What are we doing where? It's not easy, but we are working with African countries. We are helping the Nigerian government with the building of rail, and of course we often make available our locomotives. We lease them to them. In Zimbabwe, we have leased to them 13 locomotives. Of course, they still owe us some 54 million rand. And we have started unfortunately, the Zimbabwean government argued for indigenization. As a result of that, we had to partner with a company of Zimbabweans, but they have not been able to raise funding, and in the end, the concession expired. We will wait to hear from the Zimbabwean government how they proceed. Of course, as you may be aware or remember, they have moved away from making indigenization a condition for anybody who would do business there. From our side, the South Africans, understanding the importance of that, we would do it even if we are not compelled to do it. But we would not place it upfront to the extent that we fail to discharge our responsibilities with regard to the concession, simply because we are trying to wait for somebody to qualify from that country. We can bring them on board anytime as we move along. In Ghana, we are also in discussions to build the Western Corridor, a railway line, I think it's about 400 kilos to the port of Tema. And we are also working on the north-south corridor, which is still fairly difficult, but we are working with mining companies that are doing work in the Democratic Republic of Congo and in Zambia, where they need to move their products to Saldana and to Richard Bay and possibly to Moha and for Saldana. So we are working with them on that. The difficulty again there is that those countries need to invest also in infrastructure. I mean, Zambia needs to invest some big capital in building 800 kilometers of rail infrastructure, revamping its Tundoa and linking up with the rail line coming down to South Africa. We are also discussing the management of the ports in Ghana, working together with the local partners there in Ghana. We are working on a project, the rail project with it's called the Swaziland project with the government of Swaziland, Eswatini. And with regard to Botswana, we have signed an MOU and we've been given go ahead by the DPE to proceed with the Botswana Railways to build a line that goes through to the Parare for them to be able to move their coal to Richards Bay. So that work is continuing. Of course, we have been approached also by the Angolans. Our people are talking to the Angolans as well to assist them with the infrastructure. So the difficulty we have had is that sometimes we compete with the Chinese on the continent. And I have recently said to the ambassador of China that in South Africa we are partners. In the continent, we have a relationship of collaboration and competition. So we need to manage that. Because it can't be that in Africa they will just push us off because they will pick up big money we don't have. So we've got to work on a strategy of how we work together. What is this? Oh, the bullet train. The bullet train is not really the function of Transnet. Remember, Transnet does not run commuter trains. We do freight. We move goods. But our contribution to the bullet train could be from the point of view of building the wagons and locomotives for them. Transnet Engineering would do it. Of course, I'm aware that the Chinese government says it is putting money into that from Limpopo to Joburg, from Johannesburg to Durban. So we have to deal with that. With regard to also cross-border rails going to Mosina and so on, our responsibility would be to fix the rail network, bond the tracks, and assist with signaling. And then PRASA and other private operators, there is a private operator who's been building his own train, he's got originally from Botswana, they can then operate their trains there. From our side, we're also working on the rail line to Mahikeng through to Gaborone, I suppose it will go right to Francis Town and Bulawayo. Tiabar is reflecting on that, working on that project. For now, Honourable Chair, let me stop there and allow other members to respond to several other questions. We can come back later.
Honourable Chair, I think I'll address some of your personal matters with other members to address in terms of some of the issues in detail. I think I'm just trying to go through some of the queries as they were raised, sequence as we may note, and hopefully understood that in detail. The issue of SADC and the rail requirements of SADC as it relates to transit engineering, I think we are constantly pursuing opportunities in SADC, whether it's Southern African countries, whether it be for coaches, or whether it be for refurbished locomotives. This is something we do on a regular basis. And the reason that we had a decline in the revenue is because some of the contracts that we anticipated that would materialize did not materialize. I think amongst other things, we also have to be very careful as a company that we make sure that we have the right risk mitigation strategies in place. I mean, the last thing we want to do is send locomotives or wagons and then not get paid and not have them returned, etc. There's matters of insurance, there's matters of other collaterals, etc. Some of our locomotives are also governed by agreements that we may do certain things and may not in some cases. So SADC is a focus on, I think, honourable member. It is something that we have to look at, we continually look at, because there's flows between us and them, and there's flows between them and us. So as the chair alluded to, for example, the copper belt, we'd like to bring all of the commodities from the copper belt, cargo down to South Africa through to this bay. Some of it does come through, a lot of it is on the road, we actually want to get it on the rail as well. There's like that, there's a number of commodities that we look at in the SADC region. As far as the corporate social investment is concerned, I think there was an issue around the values of 151 versus 109. All of the money that we spent are not necessarily all spent in health. We have certain education schemes, we have a number of developmental objectives, so we do not necessarily spend all of the money only in the health sector. There's a variety of sectors that we look at. As it relates to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Chair, I think there were a number of questions around fruitless and wasteful expenditure, what we are doing. I think in light of what the Chair has provided, the Chair of the Board has provided, that there is civil action, not just against individuals, against entities as well. So we have already commenced with the actions which have already lost in the courts, and the processes are already underway. In addition to that, we will continue pursuing the criminal activities. If there's criminal intent that we can prove, we will lodge those criminal applications to the requisite authorities. The NPP project,
Chairperson, if I can add some bold on that. I think one of the honourable members also asked a question to say, Paul Wood and Rally, tell us what has happened about what are you going to do to prevent that from happening again. I think what is extremely important is that from a governance perspective, the previous structures and board had what is referred to as an assets and disposable committee. Acquisition. I'm Afrikaans chair, so it's not only my surname, but it's an organization. So I think the issue, we felt as a new board that allowed the previous board to get quite involved in activities of procurement. So we've terminated the existence of that committee. We've instituted a new committee, a finance committee, finance and investment committee. That is, we are busy looking at the delegation of authority and exactly how and where certain approvals can be obtained. And I think credit to the acting GCE in that some of the committees that we put in place at a board level sort of mirror in the structure of executive committees as well. So there's a clear pathway for those activities. But I think we do acknowledge that there's still improvements to be made in our procurement division, and that is will receive attention, and we will in the next submission to this committee surely provide you with feedback, which also I guess address or speak to your earlier your comment on how to more regularly get more information, that you don't just come here and tell us what happened 5 years ago.
Honourable Chair, I think on the
NFE
committee,
I
think project, there were a number of issues. There's issues around impairment, there was an issue around investigations, there's an issue around the project value, etc. The new multi-purpose pipeline, very quickly, the trunk line that was built from Durban to Johannesburg, on either side it was expected to have had a accumulated tank farm. The tank farm in Heidelberg is built, the tank farm in Durban, which is I think one of the questions that honourable member asked around impairment, the tank farm had to be demolished in Durban. What we then came up with was a what we call a pipeline solution to circumvent the pipeline, the tank farm, to get into the pipe so that industry can use the pipeline to transport fuel to Johannesburg or the inland. There's a number of issues that we have to deal with on this. There's over 400 contracts that are in debate and dispute, and issues of multiple allegations of settlements, contracts that are questionable, etc., payments that have been made, productivity issues, etc. All of these contracts have been handed to the SIU for their review. They have conducted certain investigations on certain key contracts, and that process is continuing. The project in itself, as I said, the entire pipeline is operational, fully operational. We had another pipeline which is called the old DJP, the Durban Joburg pipeline, that is in the process of being decommissioned, looking at what alternatives may exist for that pipeline, whether it may be gas or something else. We're looking at that. But the NFDP project has cost us in the region of just over, I think it's 29 to 30 billion rand. That is what it's cost us. The original cost, or the anticipated cost when it was envisaged in, I think, before, in about 10 or 12 years ago, varies in the different documentation that you need between 8 and 12 billion rand. The Beaumont-Douglas branch line, I think on the Beaumont-Douglas branch line, I would rather hope to address the branch line strategy rather than a specific branch line. We've had confusing strategies, I'll be open and honest, and we've also had certain agreements, Roman Douglas being one of them. We have Tentata, Amabella, we've got the series. All of these lines, the branch line discussions have happened, we've had a number of conversations and agreements and MOUs, but unfortunately these MOUs did not necessarily they did not take up, they were not implemented. We're putting a fair amount of energy now to implement these branch lines, particularly where we've got volume that has been lost as a result of the branch line not necessarily being operationalized at that level. So I think that is, the branch lines are receiving, definitely receiving attention. I think they did not receive the requisite attention in the last couple of years, but we're putting a lot of focus. Transnet freight rail, road to rail migration. This is something that's been mentioned for over a period of time. I think there are certain key pillars to the road to rail migration. Automotive, containers, coal, manganese. Some of these were the key ones that we wanted to move off road onto rail. Automotive, we have had some success. And I think together with some of the board members, we particularly be sitting in the discussions with the industry, but we're also sitting in discussions with the individual entities like, for example, Ford and BMW, particularly who manufacture their product inland and need to get it down to the port. We need to make up from last year to this year. We think we'll move further 3 million tons of Eskom coal from road to rail, but the opportunity is far greater. We currently move in the region of about 8 million tons. We're looking to take that up to about 15 million tons in the short to medium term. So the road to rail strategy is linked to one of the links of the first is Eskom. The Durban dig out port land, I think that was one of the key questions in terms of, so what is the status of the port? Honourable Member, Chair, I think the key issue here is on market demand. What is the demand? The last thing we as Transnet want to do is actually put a port on the table that's going to cost us a few hundred billion. That is going to be a vital effect. If the commodity does not take off or container growth doesn't achieve the requisite objectives, that's something that we're focusing on. It's not off the table. It's something that we're looking at. We are revitalizing the studies that have been done to look at what the costs will be, what the objectives will be, whether we can actually afford it as an entity or whether we need to bring the right level of private sector participation into that. It is definitely an area that will create economic growth. We're definitely aware of that. But again, the model and exactly the cost, et cetera, of that is something that we are focusing on. Insofar as Sishen Saldana is concerned, I think there were a few questions around Sishen Saldana, Honourable Chair. We are dependent on the customers. There are a few key customers. We are constantly in conversation with those customers in terms of what their throughput of their mines will be, so that we will need to increase capacity for iron ore particularly. We have commenced with the third pillar project, which is a replacement project, which will create some redundancy for us in the port. But also the first filters, the second filters there, at the point where the end of life refurbishment is due. So we have to build this filter, which is already a project that is moving ahead quite fast. We have a 60 million ton air emission license with the Department of Environment in terms of whatever needs to move over the key wall. We have a 70 million ton capacity on the rail side. It's about 67 to 70 million tons. So I think we still have ability to continue to push the envelope in terms of volumes that can move over the key wall. That will be dependent on the DEA and the licensing, air emissions license at the port. But it's an area that we are constantly in conversation. We have a very focused group at the moment that works together with the key role players and the key entities on that. It's a very collaborative environment. I think it's one of the success stories of Transnet. If you have to look at 2018, November, we had the bridge that was damaged. Together with the stakeholders, all of the stakeholders, we reduced the repair time by 7 days. We saved the country 966 million rand, I think it was. So I think that this is one of the success stories, Honourable Members. I think it's a very collaborative environment with the key customers. It's a very well-run stakeholder program. And therefore, even though we have certain challenges on the iron ore, like you see year in, year out, we still get to 58, 59 million tons. But I think it's going to be looking at the global demand. Our output of, say, 60 million tons on average is not necessarily a swing play in the market. Your global demand is just over 1.5 billion tons. But again, it is significantly impacted by issues that exist out of China or the rest of Europe. There's a fall-off in stainless steel production. You will see a fall-off in iron ore. And I think that's really... once we cross over the barrier of the volatility of commodity pricing as well as the commodity demand, we will have to have that conversation with the key stakeholders and look to see whether we can get into any take-or-pay arrangements. As far as the port charges are concerned, I think that is a constant issue that we deal with at Transnet. It's not a debatable matter that we want to put any defense on the table. I think it's something that we have to look at. The Department of Public Enterprise is on our back on a daily basis on this around administrative pricing. The port regulator is involved very heavily with pricing at the ports. I think there was another question around the 6.4% tariff adjustment. This is a regulated environment. Transnet such a port terminals are leased to Louis and Richard to deal with, given the easy motion. Economic growth, I think, is a non-negotiable from Transnet's perspective. We have understood very clearly the mandate that we have as a company. We are a key cog for economic growth. Container business will drive economic growth. Transshipment business through the port of Yorkshire will help not just the country but the continent. So I think we are very wary of that. There was a question around the numbers. One of the members asked around the numbers of the people that we had from 51,000 down to 50,000. I think it's a factor of a few things, honorable member. It's a factor of firstly productivity in the business. If I look at Transnet Engineering, as we presented, produced just over 480 locomotives, wagons. The capacity at Transnet Engineering is closer to 3,000 to 4,000 wagons. And the capacity isn't there, and the opportunity for passenger coaches has fallen away slightly. The opportunity will cross a more collaborative perspective that we have to take so that we can bring some of their business back and keep our people meaningfully employed. So as we have the natural attrition, in some cases we are not necessarily filling that because there are productivity issues. We don't necessarily have the business to actually keep 51,000 permanently employed people meaningfully or full-time employed. The issue of the audit outcomes, I think it was raised on a few matters or a few occasions. Last year, as a result of the audit issue, and it was only since last year that we had the audit qualification, we then were at the front of the queue, and I think I'll leave that as well to the board members to address, where we had a challenge where some of our debt became due and payable as a result of the qualification being a long current. We then implemented a plan, but again, I'll leave that to board members to address. We do have risk management plans as it regards to employee wellness and employee safety. They are very stringent standard operating procedures. They are audits that are done. They are constant reviews. In addition to that, we have to make an application to the rail safety regulator on a regular basis for our license as well, in which all of these things get reviewed. Unfortunately, sadly, we do experience events that are tragic, and that's really what they are. They are tragic. Sometimes it's as a result of human error, other times it's a result of malfunctioning equipment, and maybe sometimes it's as a result of infrastructure. And we try our utmost to resolve those issues. The issue of the Transnet Second Defined Pension Fund settlement, that the status on that, honourable member, the chair, is that this matter is now close to completion. We have negotiated and come to largely a principal agreement that is sitting at the lawyers for finalisation. The 1064 locomotives, there was a question around the triple PFA. There is a requirement in terms of the triple PFA and the components as well as the sector designation for electric and diesel locomotives. We are holding the equipment manufacturers to those targets. South African, the SABS has already been engaged with some of the OEMs. I believe they are close to completion on the audit. The other OEMs, together with the OEMs, we've negotiated that SABS conduct the work. I know there are some budgetary constraints, but we will look at that as a company, as Transnet, because it's not just in the interest of the company that the audits be concluded timely, it's also in the interest of the country that we have to look at it. So I think we are monitoring that situation and we are in discussion with the SABS. In terms of the question around sustaining operating the business growth in revenue, I think a very pertinent point was picked up in the sense that we are looking at the mix in yield. There are certain commodities, and I think one of the success stories is manganese, which also one of the members through the chair runs through, some of it runs through the Savannah multipurpose terminal. Is one story that we've moved in the last 5 years from about 6 to 7 million tons of manganese, and at the end of this financial year we moved 14.3 million tons of manganese. But manganese is also a mixed issue and a yield issue, because we are simply looking at all of the opportunities in revenue across all of the operating divisions. If an operating division is doing well, we expect that it does even better. But aligned to that, we are also very focused on cost containment. We do not want funds to be wasted. We don't want funds to be spent out of turn. And that then creates it creates an even bigger problem later on. If you have your costs running away with you, and even though the company or the operating division seems to be doing well with the revenue base that's growing, you've got to control the cost base. So I think that's the lesson that we've learned. I mean, I think if I can put it down to one line, it's just that basically if we look at it, good companies do well in good times, but the great companies do well in bad times because they've been able to hold those costs under control in the good times. And in the bad times, it's an easy process. Community unrest has impacted us. Community unrest has impacted us on our lines. We constantly have debates with the community. How do we solve this? I think it's not an easy open and shut case. One of the key issues is localized procurement. And I think that's the key and the appeal of communities, that we use communities at the coal face to do that piece of work that can be done by the communities. And we utilize and keep that community so that we can actually generate employment at the community level. It is a challenge, but we have a focused team that basically sits across all of the lines that are constantly engaging with communities. Triple PFA we've touched on. I think tracing the money we've touched on. We are also in discussions with the South African Reserve Bank, the SRU, through the board, the Hawks, the NPA, to recover as much of the money as possible. The borrowing program and downgrade and impact are leave to Mark to handle. Audit qualification we've touched on. What management system, as I said, Richard will handle.
Chair, there was a question raised about how we strengthen oversight. Let me leave that to you for us. How do you contribute to strengthen oversight by portfolio committee of the web contract?
Honorable members, maybe I can just add a couple of issues. There was a question on the British and Western expenditure, specifically the increase to 530 million in the current year. I think we need to bear in mind that similar to the regular expenditure, the British and Western expenditure is put on the register in the year that you discover it. So the 530 million doesn't relate to the current financial year. 75% of it relates to prior years. So as with the cleanup on the regular expenditure side, the cleanup on the British and West also resulted in the largest increase. There was also a question about the 2017 downgrade and the impact of that. The impact of that was essentially an increase in the cost of our existing funding. So most of our agreements have got pricing ratchets built into them because the downgrade cost of interest rate cost increases. We didn't have much difficulty in the last financial year in raising funding, specifically because our funding need was not that great. It was actually much lower than planned, but we can't afford to have further downgrades. So some of the funding partners that we have a certain limits as to if you go down to junk status, they're not allowed to invest very well. I think it's just those two items. That's on the funding side, just to give the comfort that we have we've had quite a lot of success in agreeing on funding agreements totaling 13.5 billion. And we're in the process of negotiating those. One of them is getting signed on the 11th of November. And all of them are at interest rates that are lower than our weighted average cost of debt. So that will take us through to the end of the 2020 year for in terms of funding needs.
I think changes to also on what Mark has said, there was a question the strengthening of internal controls, and as was said, I think by Mark or Mohammed, is that you would see a substantial drop in that number, unfortunately overshadowed by the 1064 locomotive issue. So we engage with them continuously. I think to hand over also to Richard on some of the operational items. The second stream of activity instituted by the chair is regular engagement with key accounts and key customers. For instance, in the auto industry, Toyota, Volkswagen, Seat, Ford, we pay their regular visits now to really hear the customer, and also to change the culture within the organization of transferring from one where you can easily fall into the trap that because you're a state-owned entity, there will always be help from somewhere if there's an issue on the balance sheet, but on the other hand, that you almost need to make use of our services. We really want to earn that trust, and we really want to have our service competitive. I think there was reference made in some of the questions on comparison in pricing and fees and tariffs and so forth. Just next week, there will be officials of Transnet going internationally to look at some of these competitors and international best practices so that we can think about the optimal structure to be more effective at what we do. But I think, Chair, on particularly on the port terminal side, we have embarked on a very detailed turnaround plan that runs through into 2020, which is really built around recruitment. It's both on training and mentoring, and even international best players we commissioned and brought them in to do some of the training. Another aspect that is, and I'm sure Paul will also refer to that, is remuneration in general and incentives in general. We have a go slow as we had. Those are management events that mustn't happen. Sound management must prevent it. Engagement with unions must prevent it. I'm sure Paul will elaborate more on that. I spoke earlier about a program of looking at how we firm up on equipment and maintenance. So there is a detailed plan which we have shared with some of our key accounts in the force as to how to turn this around. I think we know the problem, we know what to be done. What we now need to do is expedite the implementation of it. And Chair, let me be honest, there are one or two challenges in that, but it's really an end to Richard for some of the other activities.
Thank you. Thank you, and I will share together and go through each of the questions asked by the Honourable Member tonight, and I don't think they have not been covered by either Chair, the NCC, or our board member. So just to give you more information about the development of Douglas branch line, Mo has talked about it, but we did go on concession on that, and I think that the question that was asked by the Honourable Chairman. We had four bidders. Unfortunately, none of them complied with the technical requirements. We will be going out now on another tender. But I think what is of interest here, it is a grain facility, and the intermodal terminal that is going to be developed in Douglas is going to be a good opportunity for intermodalism. But it also is an opportunity for fertilizer, for fuel, for consumables. And it will unlock the traffic consolidation, so we want to consolidate that and create the demand for rail, etc. Also, the question that was asked about moving rail-friendly freight from road to rail, I think that question was also spoken about, but there's a big opportunity for bulk input as well to move onto rail, especially and that decongestion. Also, our vast density then the Honourable Murray spoke about some data that is the subject from time immemorial, Honourable Member. Good news is that we've now commissioned the third system, so just need to test it. And also tomorrow we'll be launching the Guinness Book of Records for the longest train, breaking our own record, the 375,000 train. So it's going to be, this is one great story that we can talk about. Honourable Mkhonazi spoke about issues around inclusive growth and development. And I think if you combine that with Honourable Mkhonazi, who talked about identity for localization, which is something that's very close to all of us in terms of localization, I think we made a lot of encouraging capability. We built a lot of capability over the years, and yes, we had it. Issue around 1064, and we seem to have declined in terms of our growth and development there. But, and that has given us a great impetus as well into building our very own Trans-Africa locomotive, which we see as going to be a solution in SADC. A lot of good work has come into that. We now will be using that locomotive in our very own network so that it becomes part of our benchmark going into Africa. So we're very, very excited about that, but also at the same time we want to make sure that if we are talking about localization, if we're talking about our very own blueprints, not just for the locomotives or tugs, dredges, but also on the automotive sector as well, creating these arms in and around where we have the automotive centers and seeing how we can have that synergy spread across the different platforms and applications. On the issue, the integrated port management system, I must say that we've had great success there. We've now rolled it out to all our ports. We're now putting into stage two of the ITMS, which we now rolled it out to SARS and all the other, because that gives us visibility and transparency. It also will combine with the TBT NAVA system, so we have an integrated almost, you know, going to 4IR benefits going forward. So we see a great deal of throughput, a great deal of transparency, and it will also contribute to making sure that our ship turnaround time has now become something that we can work towards because we've got that kind of line of sight and visibility. The one thing that is coming across, and we own up to it, we take full responsibility, the issue of poor production. You know, it seems that we encountered the perfect storm in the sense that there's poor productivity issues from our customers, issues around operations, our network, and then we have another phenomenon that has hit us in some of our ports, extreme weather and climate change. Insofar as it seems that PE is not the windy city anymore, Durban needs to come to the wind city. So, you know, that's really hampering our productivity already. As you can see from the numbers, we are making sure that asset maintenance now keeps on focus initiatives, you know, having that kind of intensity about how we go about making sure that the initiatives that we put in place and now starting to deliver on and follow through, creating a rhythm and cadence, and creating that visible sense of urgency. And so we are already beginning to see green shoots. It's early days, we don't want to celebrate these quickly, it's too early, but there is an increased pressure already. One thing that we are making breakthroughs on is security. Security contributes to the biggest cancellation of trains in all our networks. And if you look at the cable theft, and right now we also have a huge incidence of theft on our pipelines, tapping into our pipelines. We managed to arrest some of the, it's a whole range of different actors who are involved in this, and it's, the investigation is continuing, but we made a breakthrough there as well, and some of these syndicates that have been arrested, we've managed to armed 5 or 6 tankers and arrested some of these things. So we're making breakthroughs. It used to be our number. number one reason for cancellations, but we are getting a handle of it, so in terms of security. So, insofar as TPT is concerned, I think Louis spoke about it. We're now looking at proper communication with different sectors, the auto, the food, shipping lines, scheduling meetings with our customers, looking at the issues that were raised by SASOA to our president and seeing how we, you know, follow through on some of the initiatives so that we don't, so that we try and fix and stabilize, as well as having a governance around our asset maintenance, not just in the ports but also in the railways, so that we have reliable availability, but more importantly reliability. So I do believe, you know, coming out of that that documentary cartilage on TPT particularly, I think we will see traction there. You know, there are issues, there are problems, you know, only not to be, but I think more importantly we will solve the problems going forward. So I think that's my bit, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I may just try to respond to some of the questions that it has raised, and also some of the ones that my colleagues did not get to as they were responding. Let me start with the issue of female representation at Transnet. And just to sketch some background as I do there, Transnet is an organization with about 54,000 employees. And here we count both the normal employees you will hear and the acting CEO talk about 51,000, which are the permanent employees, but we then have other types of employees that are not necessarily permanent, but I include them because they're part of the constituency that we really look after part of our employees. So when you look at the lower levels within Transnet, where the work is extremely labor intensive, traditionally, that work has been allocated to men. And what happens with Transnet, the people don't use Transnet. I'm just looking at the numbers now. From January to today, of the 45,000 employees that we have at those levels, only 316 have resigned. I mean, and you see that it gives very little opportunity to change the picture of the people that are in the organization. So if I look at the total of Transnet, there is this challenge. But if I look at the senior levels and at the management levels, it is very appropriate that we, the community must that we get to over 50% of this, and it is our intention to do that, especially with the vacancies that we currently have with the acting positions, as we spoke about, where we have had to move almost 100% of the employees. There's only one employee at the executive level and the senior executive level that is not acting, and that is our chief compliance and health officer. So there are aspirations to make sure that as we backfill those positions, we get to a situation where we have 50% or more of employees there. And that would be at the senior executive level and at the senior management level, where we're sitting at the moment at 38.1%, but we will improve on this. So when we come back in a year after we've got all these positions, we should be able to draw a better picture. If we look across the organization, the 29% female representation is going to be harder and more difficult to fill, just simply because our people just don't leave. Our people just don't resign and they don't leave. We're lucky though in that because of the age profile of the organization, we do have quite a few resignations. So if I look at the people that leave the organization, 30% resign and about 40% retire at that level. So that gives us an opportunity to backfill and to work on this. So I hope that answers the question on the female composition at Transnet. On the issue of the vacancies, at Platinum Engineering, and I look at the numbers at Platinum Engineering. Platinum Engineering has or should have, and I just want to read the actual numbers here, the number of positions at Platinum Engineering, the budgeted headcount, is 10,786. And the number of actual people in the job is 10,083, which means we have opportunity to hire 700 people. The challenge there is, in some of the areas where we have the people, we don't need as many people in those areas as we have. So there's some areas where we need to reduce the number of people, and there's some areas where we need to add the number of people. So we're going through an exercise at the moment to check whether we have access, where do we have a deficit, and can we move people within different operating divisions to be able to come to an optimum point where we say these are the people that we actually need in the organization, and that is what we're going to get to. So globally across the organization, the vacancy rate is sitting at 7%, but there are some areas, for instance, if we look at TNPA and we look at the airport terminal, where it is too high, and that's where we need to balance and we need to bring in more people in those areas. But again, because of the federated, the federal approach, where operating divisions operate in isolation of each other, we just have a problem. So we're trying to balance it and deal with all of that. So you have many people here that has moved them from there to there, and you can balance. But it's an exercise that we are undergoing at the moment, and when we come next, we will be able to do that. And that is where the issue of the creation of employment is going to come in, where we're going to have opportunity to bring in young people. Because again, if you look at the numbers, the number of 26 to 35 year old is, or rather, the 5 year and less is less than 20,000 of the 53 or 64,000 that we're talking about. So, yeah, we are aware of this, and we're working on making sure that we fix this. And that will assist in increasing the employment, especially as I say, in some of the areas where we are. On the issue of strengthening overtime, I think that regular engagement has to happen, and regular engagement will result in us understanding more the areas that you're interested in, and you understanding more the areas that we're focusing on, and hopefully rebalancing this at the end of the day, those two are in sync with each other. The challenge is balancing the oversight as opposed to getting into the operations and then beginning to do that. And to that end, and I know the chair might think I'm out of order, but DPE might also, but I think that there's opportunity for a joint workshop, maybe a two-day workshop, so that we understand better the areas that you're interested in, that you need to know about in, but also you understand and appreciate better what we're focusing on in Transnet and what the actual business is, because I've been there 15, 16 months and I'm still learning every day. And then we're working with DPE and other state-owned enterprises on a board evaluation mechanisms, board monitoring and evaluation mechanisms, and I think that the time maybe we need to share that, because that would also help with the issue of oversight. And then maybe also a joint stakeholder engagement session where we listen to other stakeholders are sitting together, and we can then formulate how we're going to respond to the issue together. Lastly, on page, it's also not lastly, lifestyle audits are working program. We commissioned them, we started them a few months ago. SIU was also doing some part of this. We're waiting for the report to come through, and then we'll be able to report on this. Incentive remuneration and the unions, the challenge is the issue of line of sight and the issue of differentiation between the OTs. Some OTs are doing better than the others, but at the moment,
Transnet is one for all and all for one, and we need to drive the differentiation and the reviewing this to make sure that we can get to that. Then if that owner has become a right as opposed to a reward, and the communication and agreement between us as the union and the employees when it comes to that needs to be clearer. Chair, I hope I have covered the things that you may want me to do.
I think you should require
I'm sure the committee will never finish what discussing that one or the war at large. So I'm sure the committee will come back, and I like the idea of connection. Bring that to the chair for the committee and the members to decide.
Thank you, Chair. Can we have the final comment from the committee?
Thank you very much, Chair. There were a couple of questions that were directed at the department. I'll respond to those now. On the issue, Chair, that was asked by the follow through, how do you ensure that the issues that are raised here are followed through by the department and the entities? To a large extent, we are quite reliant on the Jonathan Ministerial Art report, but I'm sure between ourselves and the Secretariat, so we can help you maintain a legal register of the issues so that the members can then bring the external regional agencies to ensure that issues are addressed. The point that was raised with regard to Prasa and Transnet working together, that's also an issue between the two ministers, that of transport and public enterprises. And the opportunities on the continent, West Africa has been given the responsibility of building up the capability to supply the funding in current stock, is forcing that cooperation as well. There's been a directive as well from partners saying we need to look at how do we coordinate procurement between the two entities to ensure that we are able to take advantage of the combined scale of requirements. On the issue of the shareholder compact, it's aligned with the national treasury. The current compact is informed by the comment from national treasury. But what is becoming critical as we go forward is the issue of the KPIs that get into the compact and whether they ensure the maximum impact of the entities on the economy. And also to, you know, to try and get to the 80-20 principle that have long list of KPIs, just have essential ones that can ensure that we achieve the objectives that set out. We are also learning as we go. On the chair in terms of ensuring that particular alignment. But I think there's no reason why on a regular basis we cannot come back and say to the committee, this is the compact that's currently concluded. Are there areas that the committee would like to look at? I think that's all I'm saying is that I think that it's a working progress. I think over time we should get to a point where we have a limited number of KPIs that ensure maximum impact. But Chair, the issue of, there was an issue raised in regard to holding directors that are responsible for transformation at entities going forward. That's an area at the department we are building capacity in, because what all can recall the issue around the FAA chairperson, former chairperson, many of the ones that went forward to the matter, the ones that are initiating that matter. And as a department, we need to build that capability as well to ensure that from the problem. And as these issues are coming up, that the restaurants, we have to have that capability. So within our unit of legal environments, we are looking at how we can build up this particular capability. We have one person assigned there, one of the immediate tasks that we're given is to go through the 3,000 forensic reports that have come from various associations to ensure that we look after everything. So we hope in the time and resources will get to a point where we start to put things in place to ensure that we can address matters of directors who do not deliver on the responsibilities accorded to them. Chair, I'll stop there. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Deputy Chief. Another member, I think we get to the end of our session. Such that I need to apologize to Ms. Kaplan. I think she was the only woman voice this time. And I started raising the issue of time because I was worried about time when she was speaking. After we have listened to all the men, she was the only person who was prepared to finish up. I think the chair,